Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, diving into the final hour of the program, final hour of the week. Of course, you can hear me on the post-game show during our Coach's Corner after each and every Padre game. Chris Eller going to have the pregame show tonight at 4:10. First pitch tonight from Coors Field, game one of a three-game weekend series. The House of Horrors, Buddy Black's Ball Club, 4-1. The game will get underway at 5:10. First pitch, 5:10. Nice matchup tonight, too. You got right-hander Garrett Richards going against right-hander John Gray, off to a nice start for the Rockies. John Gray really started to put it together last year. You remember back in 2018, got such a shaky start. They sent him down to the minor leagues. Former number one draft pick, had been an established major leaguer, but wasn't pitching well. They sent him down to the major or down to the minor leagues, and he came back all of a sudden, started putting it together. So should be a good ball game tonight. And of course, you hear all the games right here on 97.3 The Fan. We want to get to a lot of phone calls. We got college football we're going to talk about. We're going to give you a schedule of a lot of different games. Boy, if you're a sports fan, you're going to be a pig in mud this weekend. We've got a lot of games to watch and to talk about. And again, I'll be back in Monday wrapping up the Colorado series, getting you ready for the Dodger series. Game one of a three-game series on Monday night at Petco Park against the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you'd like to get in, talk about your Padre ball club or anything else on your mind in the world of sports, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We get out to National City. Ernesto, you kick off hour number three today on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing on this Friday?
I am too blessed to be stressed, Coach.
That a boy. The ball club put us on the edge of our seat last night again, like they did the night before. Fortunately, last night they were able to come back and win it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I keep hearing this, we're going to the House of Horrors, we're going to the House of Horrors. Well, you know what? This year we have monsters on our roster, so we'll take on that House of Horrors, no problem. But I've been hearing a lot about the bullpen. Yes, okay, last year, best bullpen in baseball, but we couldn't score runs. Now, we're scoring some runs, right? And now yeah. We're scoring some runs, and our bullpen's kind of letting us down. But here's what I've noticed, and it's a short, I know it's only been, you know, a few games, but what I've noticed in years past, even last year, is when our bullpen would give up the lead, the team just mailed, they're like, okay, that's it, we're done. We lost, you know, we lost the lead in the eighth, ninth inning, and 1-2-3, game over. But this year, with leads that we've lost, with this team, they don't give up. There's something to be said about that little train, you know, just not giving up and saying, yeah, we lost the lead, but hey, you know, let's go back out there. It's a no give up, don't quit attitude. And I love that. I love the energy.
I like the energy. It seems like these guys get along with one another. It seems like Jace Tingler has done a good job as far as, you know, building relationship with his players. I thought the move last night was a rather interesting move. We haven't even talked about it, and that was the move in the 10th inning to go ahead and pinch hit Greg Garcia for one of your highest paid players on the ball club, Will Myers, and it paid off. Greg got a nice two-run pinch hit single there. But you know what? I give Jace Tingler a lot of credit for that, because there's a lot of rookie managers that wouldn't want to go down that road. They would not want to pinch hit for one of their top players and one of their so-called core players. But you know what? That tells me he's going to do whatever it takes to win. He's not out there to win popularity contests. He's out there to win baseball games.
Agreed, and I agree 100%. He's been making the right decisions except one, and everyone keeps talking about the hedges. Like, when is he going to – I just don't know when he's going to make that move and say, Mejia, here's your chance, boy. Have at it.
Yeah, we got to get the lineup. I'm going to work on getting the lineup the next break. I want to find out who's catching tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to predict that I'm not going to make my prediction until I see the lineup. But I'm going to tell you something here. Once I get that lineup, if Hedges is in the lineup, I'm going to tell you what I think he can do at Coors Field. But, Ernesto, good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks so much for the phone call.
You're welcome, Coach. Awesome job.
All right, you have a great day. I appreciate that. Braden, we got another one there?
No, but the lineup is out, Coach. We tweeted out on our fan account during your interview with Mark Ziegler.
Okay, well, would you like to go ahead and read that lineup, and then we're going to get to some college football?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news for you, Coach, but Hedges is in the lineup today.
Okay, here's my prediction. I'm predicting that tonight, not only will Austin Hedges get a hit, I think he's going to hit a home run tonight. I have that feeling that he's going to hit a home run tonight in this baseball game.
You want to put a burrito on it or something?
No, I don't. I'm not going to put a burrito on it. I mean, you don't have confidence in Austin Hedges to hit a home run tonight at Coors Field?
I have 23 reasons why I'm confident he will not hit a home run at Coors Field.
Okay, you know what? Let's go for a burrito because that may be the next time I see you. I haven't seen you in 16 weeks.
That's fine. Plus, I get a burrito out of it regardless. I'm either buying you a burrito and myself a burrito, or you're buying me a burrito and yourself a burrito.
You know what, Braden? I'd be honored to buy you a burrito because that means that things are moving forward here in California.
That's right. By the way, I'm bringing this up. The one time, I think it was last year, it may have been 2 years ago, when we were sitting in the press box and you said, there's no, he's like, if this guy steals second base, I'll take it to Ruth's Chris. And two plays later, he stole second base. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I'll take a burrito.
Who was the guy that stole the base that night? I can't even remember.
I forget. It was Coach. I mean, the lineup the Padres had that day, I mean, I don't think any of those guys are playing anymore.
Well, the guy that stole the base actually was probably slower than me.
Yeah, I think so. But let's see. I hope you're right, Coach. I want to see Hedges or Mejia get some hits for this catching spot because now it looks almost like it's mental and it looks like they're pressing really hard right now.
Well, you know, Hedges just struggles. I mean, and he knows the heat's on him going into the year. I watched Mejia last night, and he looked like he was in the ozone layer swinging the bat. I mean, defensively, he was very engaged in the game. But offensively, when he'd swing with no conviction. When he swung and missed, I mean, you look at the expression on his face. He just looks lost right now.
I have some breaking news, not necessarily good news, but not terrible news in terms of baseball.
Okay, let's hear it. But then I want to hear the full Padre lineup before we get to college football.
All right. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred told Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark on Friday, that's today, that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season, sources familiar with the conversation have said, due to the Miami Marlins outbreak, due to the Cardinals getting a couple players tested for COVID-19. And the big thing is here is Manfred is pointing the finger at the players for not following the 113-page operations manual. He said that local government officials are wondering how seriously the players are taking these protocols. Further, there is concern about off-the-field choices, so things we do not see on broadcast, with one high-ranking official saying there are some bad decisions being made for players when they're out on the road. The Cardinals game against the Brewers was postponed Friday and rescheduled to a doubleheader Saturday. Already the Marlins and Philadelphia Phillies, who last played Miami on Sunday, were missing scheduled games, leaving 20% of the league's Friday slate empty. And, Coach, a lot of fingers are being pointed at the players for not following protocols.
That doesn't surprise me at all. A lot of these players are young guys. They feel invincible. And you know when they're out on the road, they're looking for girls to visit with in between ball games. So that does not surprise me in the least. It really doesn't. And I think the ball clubs that really want to win and really take this the game serious, they're going to follow the protocols. I would think the Padres are doing a good job of that. I would certainly think the Dodgers are doing a good job of that. I think there are a lot of teams that are probably doing a good job of it. But, you know, you might have some teams that aren't going to really be players this year. Well, players one way or the other on the field or off the field. But teams that maybe aren't expected to do a whole lot, their young players may not be taking this whole thing real serious, and it's going to affect everyone in baseball. And I'm just glad it hasn't gotten to the National League West or the American League West yet.
And remember, Coach, there was a bubble proposed by Major League Baseball, and the players said, we're not doing that. So it's even more on the players if the season gets canceled, if they're not following league protocol, and they're the ones that didn't want the bubble. I will say this, though. A bubble in Arizona right now would probably be horrible because there's only one indoor stadium, and the temperature out in Arizona is in the over 110 right now. And Arizona reported this is the hottest summer on record that they've had. I don't know if I believe that, but that's what they said.
Yeah, you know, Braden, I never bought into that bubble. Remember they were going to have the teams from the West, basically play in Arizona and the teams from the East play down in Florida. I never really bought into that at all.
Well, that's the NBA's doing it. They're not having any issues. NHL's doing it. They're not having any issues. It's very strict on the players' lives, but it's a way to get the sport in. I see the pros and cons of the bubble. One big con, though, is if one person in the bubble gets the coronavirus, all of a sudden that thing might spread a little bit more rapidly than you would if you were not in the bubble. But it seems to be seen. It looks like it's working out for the NBA and NHL. I'm just for whatever lets the players play the game and be safe in the process. Lineup time.
Ready? Yeah, let's get to the lineup. I'm anxious for the lineup tonight.
Leading off and playing shortstop, number 23, Fernando Tatis Jr. Batting second and in center field is Trent Grisham. Batting third and at third base is Manny Machado. Batting fourth and in left field is Tommy Pham. Batting fifth and at second base, Jurickson Profar. Batting seventh and in right field is Will Myers. Batting eighth and the designated hitter is Josh Naylor. And batting ninth and catching is Austin Hedges. Actually, no, okay. Correct. Hedges is batting eighth and Cronenworth is batting ninth and playing first base.
Okay, so Hosmer's out yet again tonight. I wonder if we're even going to see Hosmer this weekend. From what I'm hearing, it's not good right now. And, you know, I'm not going to say that he's going to go on the IL and going to be out for an extended period of time. It's day-to-day right now. But the reports we got out of San Francisco were not real encouraging.
No, it started getting from, like, the first time it happened in San Diego on that Saturday. It's like, hey, you know what, he might have had some bad food, yada, yada, yada. It's a stomach bug to Monday when it happened again, hey, is things still kind of lingering to, Wednesday again when he was out, it was like, all right, this is, we're starting to take this a little bit, it might be a little bit more than we thought, and then Thursday again, no Eric Hosmer, today no Eric Hosmer, and the doctors are working with him, they said it's non-COVID, which is great, but the other thing too is we just want to make sure, you know, at this point in time, we got to make sure Hosmer and his health is the first priority and that he's healthy and you know, he's taken care of before we can start talking about getting him back in the lineup. And I wouldn't be surprised, Coach, if he takes the entire weekend off. And, you know, who knows? I don't even know if he's, you know, maybe he didn't fly with the team to Coors and maybe they got him back to San Diego. We'll get an update probably from Jace Tingler, but we got to hope, in, you know, that Eric Hosmer first and foremost is okay.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about that. And I'm hoping he's back in San Diego. Take the weekend off and get all the tests run, and hopefully they come up with a remedy and get him ready to go. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, if he'll have been off, you know, about six games. You know, he may not be ready to play Monday. Maybe come out, and if he's feeling good, come out, take a little BP, take some grounders, kind of, you know, just build up your stamina and maybe be ready to go on Tuesday. But, again, it's day-to-day right now. We'll have to wait and see where it goes. All right, Braden, we got a few minutes here before we get to our next commercial break. Let's get to a little college football because different conferences are announcing schedules. And, you know, I know yesterday, and I knew it was coming, they just hadn't made it official, the USC-Alabama game officially called off.
Well, yeah, that game was called off a while ago, Coach.
No, officially yesterday it was.
I thought Alabama replaced Notre Dame on their schedule, which now will probably be in question based on what SC was doing, or the SEC is doing.
Yeah, they we knew they weren't going to play, but yesterday they made the official announcement. So, hey, you know what? Now the Pac-10 is going to play conference games anyways.
The ACC was the first to announce their plans. First week of games will be September 7th to the 12th. They accounted for 10 conference games and one non-con. They're the only conference to officially announce that. All non-conference games, though, must be played in the home state of the ACC institution, and the opponent must meet medical protocol requirements set by the ACC. 11 games played over 13 weeks. They're going to be in one division. Notre Dame is in the ACC for 2020 in terms of the football program. They are eligible to play in the ACC championship game and will be an ACC representative in any type of bowl games that will happen late in the season. Championship game will be on December 12th or the 19th, depending if things need to get pushed back or move forward. That's the ACC plan. But they only have one. They have one non-conference game, and the thing that's starting to see if I don't even know if that's going to happen is because the SEC and the Pac-12 have both announced that they're only going to do 10-game conference-only seasons with no non-con. We'll talk about the SEC real quick. Their championship game will be on December 19th. They will not start games until September 26th. Pac-12 is going to follow suit of the SEC. They're going to 10-game conference schedule only starting September 26th. And they will have their championship game on December 19th as well. Pac-12 is the only school to announce their schedule in terms of dates and opponents. The ACC has announced their schedule with no dates, just home and away. The SEC has yet to announce who their teams will be playing in their conference schedule. And if you want to check out the Pac-12 schedule, we have tweeted it out on the 97.3 The Fan account. That's at 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter. First week, pretty interesting, Coach. On September 26th for the Pac-12, Arizona, Arizona State, USC, UCLA, and Washington, Stanford, the headliners to start the Pac-12 season off.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. September 26th, let's face it, Brady, we're all going to be, you know, just clamoring for college football. I mean, I enjoy the NFL, but I love college football Saturday. I mean, I'll watch as many games as I possibly can, and I'll stay up as late as I possibly can to watch all the highlights and the replays. I mean, college football, I like it because it's more unpredictable. I mean, when you're talking about the NFL, coaches don't want to take a lot of chances. They got their job on the line. A lot of times, college coaches are more creative. They're a little bit go for it a little bit more, and it's just a more wide open brand of football.
The Pac-12, the Big 12's yet to make an official decision on whether or not they're going to be playing a conference only schedule. They do have games lined up already on August 29th for a handful of their teams going against some group of five opponents. I know TCU is playing UNLV at UNLV on August 29th. In fact, the Big 12 signed off on their teams moving games up earlier just to give them a bigger window for games throughout the season. I think that's a pretty safe move by the Big 12. Get the games in when it's hot outside and not during flu season. But the problem with the Big 12 is you don't have any Power 5 schools to play in terms of non-conference, because the Big 10 already said they're not going to do it. The ACC said the only way you're going to play a non-conference game is if you play in the home state of, or you play an opponent that's in the home state of the institution, and the Big 12 doesn't have any teams playing in the ACC states, so that's out the window. The SEC is going with a conference-only schedule, so, I mean, unless the Big 12 partners up with the Mountain West, I don't know what they're going to do, and if they do a conference-only schedule, which they already do, and play everybody, they only get 9 games, so I'm curious to see what the Big 12 does. They got a lot of decisions that they're going to have to make. I saw a couple proposals out there, Coach. Let BYU into the Big 12 for 2020 just to give you an even amount of opponents, or potentially play one team twice as a home and home. I think that's also intriguing. The Big 12 is the last conference to announce what they're going to do, though.
You know, BYU, I wonder what BYU's thinking football-wise. It has not worked out for them, you know, getting out of the Mountain West Conference and becoming an independent. I think they found out very quickly they're not Notre Dame. And, you know, they've had pretty much a mediocre football since they left the Mountain West Conference, Braden.
Yeah, and then even with, you know, their basketball team, I think they've fallen off a little bit going to the WCC. I mean, when they were in the Mountain West, they were top-ranked almost every single year, and they had some really good years, and they go to the WCC, and they just become fodder for Gonzaga. So I don't. It's one of those conference realignment moves that I thought, you know, maybe BYU, obviously they're doing it for the money, but I don't think it's worked out for them. It'd probably be better for them to join a conference again. It'd probably be better for them to go back to the Mountain West, because I already know the Big 12, you know, a lot of schools in the Big 12 do not want to have BYU in their conference, but, you know, in this particular time of 2020, they might need to make that move. Otherwise, you might see some home and homes for the Big 12 conference, although I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Texas, Oklahoma twice in 1 year, maybe Bedlam twice in 1 year. It'd be kind of fun to watch, especially you never see that college football playing the same team twice in the regular season.
Well, every day is a new day in the world, and definitely in the sports world. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the weekend schedule. Boy, if you're a sports fan, we've been waiting for this during this pandemic. We got all kinds of sports to watch. We're going to tell you about some of them when we return, and we're also going to get to your phone calls at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks so much for joining us on the John Contreras Show daily, 12 to 3, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ah, 2:23 the time on a Friday. Hope you're enjoying the program. We have fun. Hopefully you enjoy the program each and every day. Braden and I, we'll enjoy talking in the world of sports with you. And I'd love to take your phone calls. We'll get back to your phone calls shortly. But also want to remind everyone, you can win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card from 97.3 The Fan. Our Radio.com app contest going on now until August 10th. Here's what you need to do. Download the Radio.com app, favorite 97.3 The Fan, and hit play for your chance to win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card. Go to the contest page on 97.3TheFanSD.com. for more details. Okay, Braden, before we get to the bottom of the hour, I want to get to this weekend. I mean, I was looking at the schedule. You sent me an enormous schedule. I mean, you and I, we were living on UFC, some boxing matches, and NASCAR, and some, premier soccer league stuff for weeks. Now we've got baseball back. We got the NBA back. We got the WNBA. This weekend, the NHL's coming back. We got a bevy of things to watch this weekend.
Yeah, we got a lot to watch, hopefully, as we continue to monitor this COVID thing in baseball. But there's a lot of games on the slate in the NBA, the WNBA, golf, Major League Baseball, hockey's back, Major League Soccer. What else we have? We have the FA Cup over there in Europe, Arsenal and Chelsea. But let's get to tonight. Friday, some games are already in action, by the way, in the NBA. Orlando at Brooklyn, Memphis at Portland. Again, that's just determining who wears the home jersey and who wears the away jersey down in the bubble. But the NBA tonight, Orlando and Brooklyn, Memphis and Portland, like I said, those games are underway. Phoenix and Washington, Boston and Milwaukee, Sacramento and San Antonio, Houston and Dallas. The WNBA tonight, New York and Atlanta, Indiana and Dallas, Vegas and Phoenix. You got Orlando City and LAFC if you're into Major League Soccer. Baseball, you got tons of matchups tonight, and you got the second round of St. Jude going on in golf right now. Friday was very, very busy today, Coach, on a Friday, and I know we're going to be watching the Padres game, but I'm sure you're going to be flipping back and forth between the Padres game and a handful of NBA games and your extra innings package that you do.
No, there's no question about it. The key for me is to make sure I've got extra batteries if my clicker runs out on me. I don't want to, be slow getting back to a game. And then, of course, tomorrow, Braden, we got New Orleans taking on the L.A. Clippers, and the Lakers going to take on the defending NBA world champion Toronto Raptors. So we got a little NBA tomorrow on the local version.
Yeah, you got NBA tomorrow as well. You also got Miami, Denver, Utah, OKC, Philadelphia, and Indiana in the NBA. You got the third round of St. Jude for golf. You got two MLS games if you want to watch soccer, San Jose and Minnesota, New York City and Portland. You got Brunson versus Shabazzian in the UFC fight tomorrow night. Arsenal and Chelsea for all you soccer fans out there for European soccer. You got Yankees Red Sox this weekend, Coach, too. And I think, when you look at it on paper, the Yankees should handle the Red Sox, but that's like a rivalry like Dodgers and Giants. You never know what's going to come out of that series. Plus, of course, Padres and Rockies this weekend, the entire weekend right here on 97.3 The Fan. And, Coach, starting on Saturday, you got hockey back. Rangers and the Hurricane, Chicago and Edmonton, Florida and the Islanders, Montreal and Pittsburgh, Winnipeg and Calgary. Fun slated Saturday if you just want to lay around and watch sports all day or listen right here on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, Braden, you mentioned the Yankees in Boston, and I haven't looked to see what the lineup is for a Sunday night baseball. But I would have to guarantee that'll be our Sunday night game of the week, the Yankees taking on the Boston Red Sox. They would not go by, especially early in a 60-game season, without making sure that we all see the Boston-Yankee rivalry on Sunday night baseball.
And I just double-checked, and it is Sunday Night Baseball. Are we surprised?
Hey, you know what? Matty Vasgersian and Alex Rodriguez doing the ball games from in-studio. And Vasgersian's great. I mean, Matty V, a big fan. You know, he does a little bit different than a lot of play-by-play guys, but he's very knowledgeable. He's a great guy. I know him very, very well. But I got to tell you, Alex Rodriguez, I want to like. I want to like him because he comes across, least of all on the TV, as being a nice guy. I don't know what he's like in person. But I got to tell you, he doesn't criticize anything. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of getting on him last week. You know, he and J-Lo are trying to buy the New York Mets. And they're saying, you know, he doesn't want to be critical of anything in baseball right now because he doesn't want to hurt his chance to purchase the New York Mets. Well, you know what? If that is the case, then he probably shouldn't be doing the broadcast because everything's great now. No matter what they do in baseball, everything's great. And that ain't the case.
A-Rod has always, for me, as a television broadcaster, has come across as very ungenuine, I think is the best way to put it.
You know, I used to like it when he was on the show. You know, they'd have Big Poppy, and they would have Frank Thomas. And that one year during the World Series, they had Pete Rose. But then, you know, more stuff came out on Pete Rose, and they took him off that show. You know, it looks like to me that he prepares pretty hard, and I don't know if they're feeding him a lot of information or not, but it seems like he tries almost a little bit too hard sometimes when he's not when he's doing the game, but when he was doing like the analyst before the game and after the game, it seems like he tries a little bit too hard.
Yeah, he does try a little too hard. I'm not a big A-Rod fan. I do think for the Red Sox-Yankees game, since he is the former Yankee player, they got to get a former Red Sox player, and they should just get David Ortiz on there, and they have A-Rod and Big Poppy and Matt Vasgersian in the booth. I think that would be wild entertainment for especially a Yankees-Red Sox matchup.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. You know, the Red Sox, they're not very good this year. I mean, the Yankees, you know, Aaron Judge is off to a good start. Stanton's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, he played only 19 games last year, and he's gotten off to a red-hard start. The thing that I think is going to take the Yankees down, I just don't think they have the starting pitching. I think their bullpen's real good. I'm just not convinced their starting pitching is going to be there throughout the course of the entire season.
Yeah, and then in fact, they picked up local product Steven Gonsalves, the Red Sox did, on his taxi squad. So hoping to at least just throw him out there might as well. I mean, the Red Sox starting pitching hasn't been that great. Might as well throw the local kid out there.
Yeah, Steven, boy, he's had a tough go of it. I mean, he got let go by the Twins after, you know, making his major league debut, I think, last year, and then was over with the Mets, and they had him down. They didn't even have him at the alternate site. Now he ends up with the New York Yankees. I would hope he'd get an opportunity. He's a good young left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, and at this point, the Red Sox could use some type of pitching. But again, I'm biased because I know Steven. So that is the Saturday slate. Coach, real quick, I'll let you know on Sunday because I know – we all have to watch the Red Sox-Yankees game. That's like shoved down our throats. You got 6 other NBA games on Sunday you can watch. There's 3 WNBA games. You got the final round of St. Jude, 5 more hockey games for you, and you got the NASCAR Cup Series at New Hampshire, plus all the baseball games as well. So a lot of sports to be watched this weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about coming up on Monday, of course.
I'm going to make a point, Braden. You know, it'd be easy for me just to tune into baseball and then tune into the Laker game tomorrow. I'm going to make it a point to pick out a hockey game this weekend, and I'm not going to watch the entire hockey game, but I'm going to watch a little bit of it.
I would be more inclined to watch hockey if one. I've been, and again, same thing with the NBA. It's been off for so long that I'm totally in baseball mode. And it's July, and, like, we never, ever have hockey or basketball during this time, so it's kind of weird. I'm more inclined to watch basketball just because of the games that I think are a little bit more exciting. I'd be more inclined to watch hockey if my Anaheim Ducks were still in it or one of the California teams, but they're not, and I'm not saying I'm not going to watch hockey, but I'm less inclined to watch the hockey games. I'll probably turn a little bit of them on, but I'd be way more into it if the Ducks were still in it.
I agree with you 100%. But I'm gonna pick out a game and watch a little bit of it. Maybe only the third period when they're really going at it in a tight 1-1 type game. But and I'll report back to you on Monday on that. I want to remind everyone there are plenty of ways to connect with 97.3 The Fan for United San Diego and help us move forward to California. Download the radio.com app, favorite 97.3 The Fan, and hit play. Listen live on your desktop player at 97.3 The Fan. SD.com. You can also ask Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan on radio.com. More info, go to 97.3thefansd.com. And please use the hashtag #MoveCaliforniaForward. We're past the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're talking about schedules. We're going to give you the Padres' upcoming schedule. It's pretty difficult. We'll tell you that next, right here on the John Quintero Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Two thirty-eight the time. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, we got Gwynn and Chris coming up at the top of the hour. They got a very short show because at 4:10 tonight, Chris L will have the Padre pregame show, the Geico Padres pregame show at 4:10. 5:10, it'll be Padre baseball tonight. Very nice matchup in game one of this three-game weekend series at Coors Field. Right-hander Garrett Richards for our Padres. Big right-hander, former number one pick of the Rockies, John Gray, going for Buddy Black's Ball Club. This portion of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Amtrak Pacific Surfliner. Visit PacificSurfliner.com to learn about modified train schedules and other service updates that help keep Southern California moving. Braden, before we get to the Padres' upcoming schedule, and boy, I see the L.A. Dodgers on it quite a bit going forward here the next couple of weeks. We got some breaking news regarding Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Rob Manfred talking to Tony Clark saying the players better start following the protocols, otherwise we're going to have to shut baseball down. It's put Twitter through a tizzy because everybody on Twitter is saying it's not the players' fault. But at the end of the day, Major League Baseball, this is a tweet by Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball believes that this rash of positive tests last week, 29 tested positive out of 11,800 tests this week. 21 of those 29 positive tests came from the Miami Marlins. The other came from 29 teams representing 8 positive tests. They had one player from an alternate site. They had 2 active MLB players, and then they had 5 staff members test positive. But MLB believes that because of those, or all of those are created because violations of health and safety protocols prompting the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to tell Union Chief Tony Clark that if it doesn't drastically improve, the sport will shut down. We have seen reports also from players around the league that are being anonymous talking about some situations in Miami and how that they say that the following of the protocols is not being made, including one quote from an anonymous executive saying bad decisions are being made off the field. So we'll see what happens with this. Again, I'm tired of the finger pointing because at the end of the day, it's time to start taking responsibility for the own actions. And I think, honestly, Coach, and we've been talking about this the entire time, the players that take it seriously and the players that self-police and hold each other accountable in terms of making sure you do the right thing on and off the field. And granted, it's not foolproof. It's not going to, you know, just because you follow all the rules doesn't mean, you know, something might not happen. But that's going to be a big factor, I think, in determining what teams are in it and what teams aren't, and what teams that are taking this seriously and what teams want to win and what teams aren't. And we saw with the Marlins, a team that doesn't necessarily have to compete, a team that's got a lot of young players on it, a lot of players my age, maybe younger, might feel themselves a little bit invincible, and we're waiting for reports about the contract tracing. But at this point in time, I mean, you raise a lot of eyebrows of what's going on here in Major League Baseball.
Well, Braden, again, I go back to Bob Nightingale. Bob Nightingale put a tweet out earlier in the week, said that a bunch of those guys from the Marlins, you know, they obviously weren't following the protocol, and they'd gone to a so-called gentleman's club there in Atlanta. Maybe it was the same gentleman's club. You know, they have really good ribs at one of those, according to Lou Williams of the Clippers. By the way, Lou Williams was out of the lineup last night for the Clippers against the Lakers, along with Montrezl Harrell. But, you know, they are a young group of guys, and guys like that, they get out on the road, and hey, let me tell you, I've been with Major League Ball Clubs. I've seen what goes on in these hotels after games when guys come in There's beautiful women all around looking to meet a ball player. And for a lot of those young guys, it may be too tempting. But, again, you got to follow the protocol. I mean, hey, Braden, let's face it. I mean, I'm sitting here in my home on a Friday afternoon. You know, normally I'd be down at the station, you know, face-to-face with you. I've been here for weeks. I mean, we're in a time now that I hope once we get out of it, nobody ever has to go through again as a country and as individuals. I mean, it's changed all of our lives. But, you know, people have to take this stuff serious because if they – maybe that's why we're still in it the way we are right now. I mean, we got to take this serious. And, you know, unfortunately for the Marlins, some of their kids, it sounds like they didn't take it seriously. But, again, nobody's really throwing them under the bus. They're just a lot of conjecture that they didn't follow the rules. We don't know that for a fact, but, you know, where there's smoke, there's normally fire.
Well, Scott Miller, speaking of, a friend of our show just tweeted out, Major League Baseball internal investigation has found that the Marlins were very lax in following protocols during Atlanta trip last weekend. Players going out, players in hotel bar, etc. Lots of Major League Baseball people very unhappy with the Miami Marlins. Now, Coach, I mean, if this is what they found in the investigation that they found and it's proven true, if you're Major League Baseball, and I've seen this get thrown out there, and I actually wouldn't be that opposed to it, is the games that the Marlins missed because of this, should they have to forfeit those games because of them not paying attention to the protocol? Because again, Coach, when they come back, assuming they come back on Monday, I doubt it's going to happen on Tuesday or whatever. Tuesday is when they said they could be cleared to play again. They're going to be in first place still. And the percentage, it's going by, you know, team percentage. And if you don't make up those games, it ends up helping the Marlins. I think that's kind of a joke. Coach, I know your opinion on the matter is you can't have them forfeit the game because it takes away from the game. 2020 is an interesting year, and there's a lot of weird rules coming down. But, I mean, at this point in time, if that's what Major League Baseball found, I mean, you got to kind of hold the Marlins accountable for putting a tailspin right now into Major League Baseball and for, you know, for putting them under the hot seat for, you know, in terms of being the league that can't figure it out. And it's because of a couple guys potentially in Miami that just didn't want to follow the rules.
Well, Braden, a couple of things. First of all, Derek Jeter, that falls on the ownership there, number one, and the general manager and the traveling secretary. That falls on a lot of the front office, okay? I mean, not that you're going to put a lasso around these players, but, you know, you got to have a system in place, and you know you should know your guys. You know the guys that are going to probably try to sneak out and get after it a little bit, okay, number one. So that's an issue. Now, as far as the forfeits, that would be making a mockery of the game. And the reason I said I don't care about the Marlins as far as if they win or lose. I really don't care about them whatsoever. But what it would do, especially in a shortened season, if one of the teams that they were playing, all of a sudden you gave that team three victories without having to, you know, go through the process of playing the ball game and winning that ball game in a shortened season, you could take a team that, you know, is struggling. All of a sudden, you push them over the 500 mark, and you put them right back in the playoff picture. And I don't think that would be fair to all the other teams in baseball.
It's a double-edged sword for anything you're going to do here. I don't see the Miami Marlins being able to make up these games. And you know what? It might actually help the Miami Marlins late in the year if they have all these games that they decide they're not going to play, and they're playing some teams that might be better on their schedule than teams that aren't, and teams that they can beat are now on their schedule, and teams they can't beat are not on their schedule. It's a crazy season that they're going to have to figure out here. But again, it took one weekend already to have guys not follow protocol and get Major League Baseball into a big problem here. And again, the whole thing with the bubble, and you know, I don't want to hear everybody talk about like, well, hey, look, why didn't they do a bubble like the NBA? They tried to do a bubble, right? I mean, that they threw that out there. The players didn't want to do the bubble. And by the way, the bubble's a little bit more difficult to do for Major League Baseball than I think it is to do for other sports. And aside from hockey being able to, you know, potentially pull it off, but at least they have indoor arenas that they can play at, where baseball, they don't have a lot of indoor facilities for Major League Baseball to use. And, you know, a place that has a lot of facilities for baseball to use is Arizona. You can't play baseball right now outside in Arizona. I mean, unless you play every game at night and then they have to coordinate. I mean, it's too much of a problem, especially with everybody's traveling party and how many, you know, players are doing it. And then you have to deal with families and accommodate. I mean, it's not that possible. The traveling party for the Cardinals right now is like 50 people. I mean, that's a lot of people in the traveling party that's you'd have to have housed. And It's easier to do if you're the NBA, I think, and the NHL potentially, and Major League Soccer. But the way baseball has everything set up for a long period of time, it just was kind of hard to do. And now they have to do it with this traveling, and that's what really, you know, potentially puts you at risk, is getting on an airplane and flying and doing all the travel and staying in hotels and making sure guys stay here and make sure they don't go out. And it's a difficult task to do. And now they're assigning basically a hall monitor for each team to travel on the road to make sure they're following protocols. But again, if they want to get through this, they're going to have to get not only cooperation from baseball, but cooperation from the players. Otherwise, this season's going to blow up on them.
Braden, I want you to understand my point on the forfeit thing. I'm not sure you grasp it. You're looking at more from the Marlins standpoint. My thought is, let's say, take the Marlins out of the equation here, okay? They're not going to be a playoff team this year, okay? But here's my take. Let's say that the New York Mets are two games ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. All of a sudden, Rob Manfred goes, well, all the games that people were playing against the Marlins that had to be postponed, they're going to get a win. They're going to get a forfeit win. All of a sudden, you take the Phillies and you give them three wins and they jump over the New York Mets or any other team in the National League East. That wouldn't be fair to those teams. So that's why I'm saying they can't, you know, say because the Marlins screwed up, they're going to have to forfeit those games, because it really affects the pennant race in that division, where one team could get three wins by not even playing a game and they jump over a team that's two games ahead of them in the standings.
No, I know. I totally understood what you were saying. I'm just saying it's a double-edged sword in terms of being able to punish the Marlins where it hurts in the wins and losses, while also not, unfortunately, rewarding another team for not doing anything just because they have the Marlins on the schedule. And then you get implicated with, well, we give them losses and don't give the other team wins, and it's just a mess. But what I'm saying is, it's going to benefit, it might benefit the Marlins at the end of the day, for them to just not have as many games and be able to get some win. Again, if they're going based on win percentage, they're still in first place, surprisingly enough. And the other thing too is, you can't pull a Major League Soccer and get rid of them and just be like, all right, they're gone now. Now we have 29 teams left. I mean, I don't know. I think that would, ruin the game as well. I mean, I don't know what you'd necessarily do with the Marlins. The Marlins put baseball in a bad spot.
No question about it. Hey, I want to remind everyone, all guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. And for details, call 877-SDCCU for you, or you can apply online at sdccu.com. Braden, we got a couple of minutes, and I do want to get to the Hang a Star play of the day, but right now let's talk briefly about the Padres' schedule going forward, because they got three starting tonight against Colorado at Coors Field. They come home on Monday night. They got three against the Dodgers, and next weekend they've got a four or a three-game series in Arizona, and then on August 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, they're going to be at Dodger Stadium. So, boy, they got a lot of games coming up against the Dodgers.
Yeah, this is the Dodgers stretch time and the Arizona Diamondbacks stretch time. But their next two series are against the two teams that they're tied with for first place. So, I mean, these are, every game right now is must win. And I know it's a cliche that people don't want to hear, but, I mean, these are especially must win, because this is the teams you're battling for a playoff spot for right now. And two teams get to go automatically for the NL West. And, you know, it's got to keep racking up wins. But you got the Dodgers coming up twice. You got the Rockies this weekend, of course, and then you got you'll be done with the Diamondbacks by August 16th, which I think is wild. But you know, you got to try to rack up as many wins against the Diamondbacks, and you know, hopefully in that process, just knock them completely out of the race. And then you got three teams battling for two spots down the stretch. But it's a tough schedule coming up, especially with the way the Rockies and the Dodgers are playing.
Well, Braden, and the other thing, and I think the fans have probably heard this, but I'll remind them, of the 10 games the Padres play against the Rockies this year, seven of them are going to be at Coors Field, so it would behoove them to get off to a good start tonight.
Yeah, and no wild games, please. We don't need the, you know, especially at Coors Field. No lead is safe at Coors Field, and we knew that last year with the team that the Padres had that, you know, wasn't necessarily the greatest at scoring runs, but they racked up a ton of runs last year in Colorado, and it seemed like, I mean, there was a couple times they were down six runs and came back and won those games. So you get foot on the gas tonight and just try to get it. I mean, every inning you're trying to put it's like men's softball up there at Coors Field. You got to keep getting runs. If you don't get runs in an inning, it almost feels like a failure of an inning.
Hey, like I said, Austin Hedges is going to take one out of the yard tonight. I'm predicting Austin Hedges, maybe his first hit of the year will be a home run. He may have a multi-hit game, but I'm telling you right now, I got a feeling that kid's going to hit a home run tonight.
All right, so it's just a bets on him hitting a home run, not him getting a hit.
No, you got to hit a home run. I don't know. I was putting my shoes on this morning, and I had good thoughts about Austin Hedges. I think he's going to run into one tonight against the Rockies, whether it be against John Gray or their bullpen. I think he takes one over the boards.
All right. As a Padres fan, I'm all for it. I hope it happens. As a burrito fan, I can't wait for him to fall short of hitting a home run. Coach, I like burritos with carne asada, sour cream cheese, and guac.
Yeah, I love guacamole. Hey, let's get to the hang a star play of the day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
A 97.3 The Fan.
Left-handed bat against the sidearm right-handed. Line drive base hit in the right field. Bobbled once, bobbled twice by Duggar. They're coming on home here. The boys are not blowing it out, but they've got a big one. I'd call it semi-blowout. 9-6, my boys, in the top of the 10th.
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Greg Garcia, live from El Cajon, getting the Padres blowing it open for a Padres win last night.
You know, every time I see Greg Garcia, I always enjoyed watching him play with the Cardinals, a kid from Valhalla. But because I had a good association and knew his grandfather very well, it almost brings me to emotion because his grandfather taught me a lot about baseball. Dave Garcia, who managed in the big leagues with the Angels and the Cleveland Indians, was in professional baseball over 70 years, just passed away here in the last couple of years. Just an incredible man. And every time I see Greg, I think about the conversations I had with Dave about Greg and about another one of their grandsons that got to AAA, who's now working with Dave Jr. in the insurance business here, Drew Garcia. I mean, just a great baseball family. I played against Dave Jr. Jr. was a very good player, but I got to know his father very, very well and got a lot of great memories. Sat for years in the press box with Dave Garcia Sr., and boy, he taught me a lot about baseball and how to manage players and pick coaches and things to look for, and always indebted to Dave Garcia. So anytime I see his grandson on the field, and especially when he performs like he did last night, I know his grandfather's looking down with a smile on his face.
I love watching San Diego kids do well at Major League Baseball. And, Coach, we've got a lot of San Diego kids playing in Major League Baseball right now. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, we're going to have to track some of those guys down during the 60-game schedule. Braden, great week. I know you got the pregame and postgame tomorrow, right?
That's correct. I got Chris Ello tonight. I will be doing it Saturday, then Ello on Monday, or Sunday, Monday, and then I got it back on Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right, good week, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the postgame show.
I'll look forward to that, and I'll be on the postgame show tonight with Chris Ello. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, calling in. Great week on the air with all you great listeners. We'll be back in on Monday. We'll wrap up the Colorado series, get you ready for the Dodgers. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.